Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. Jordan Goodman is back, ladies and gentlemen. Jordan is the leading expert on personal finance in America, and as many of you know, he's a weekly commentator on Public Radio International's Marketplace Morning Report. He's the author of a number of books, including one I'm holding in my hand that we've talked about before, Everyone's Money Book, and he spent 18 years with Money Magazine on the editorial staff there. You can see some of the credentials that he has. His brand new book is out that I think you're going to like a lot. You're going to benefit greatly from. It's called Reading Between the Lies: How to Detect Fraud and Avoid Being a Victim of Wall Street's Next Scandal. Jordan, welcome back.
Great to be with you again, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And by the way, good job on Fox yesterday. I saw you in the afternoon on Fox News.
With Neil Cavuto.
Neil, yeah. Neil did a good job of interviewing you, and you did a better job of being interviewed.
Well, that's a good combination. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that was good. I enjoyed hearing you talk about it, and I'm sure many of the audience saw you there as well. Okay. We got lied to, didn't we?
A lot.
by a lot of different companies.
Yeah, and this is what's really been a trauma for a lot of investors, and they're still kind of living in the days of, you know, who can I trust? And meanwhile, the stock market's taken off like a rocket here.
I was thinking about that old television show, game show that Johnny Carson did back in the 50s. Who do you trust? Remember that?
Yeah, that's right.
You don't remember that, but
no, but that's exactly the problem today.
Uh-huh.
Because I mean, what I talk about in Reading Between the Lies is how the entire system to protect investors broke down. And you look through all the different parts from the government level, like the SEC didn't catch these things, the state securities regulators. The boards of directors, the CEO, they're supposed to be representing the shareholders, not just lining their own pockets, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Investment analysts.
But the whole system broke down, didn't it?
You know, everybody who was supposed to be out there protecting investors was lining their own pockets, is what it came down to. And there are conflicts between the investment banking side and research where, in fact, you know, the research people were not giving advice for the investors, but they were trying to pump up the stocks on the investment banking side. That's where all the money was being made. The accounting and auditing firms that were supposed to be a check, in many cases, were not. So, you know, you can get really depressed about thinking about this, but what I tried to do in Reading Between the Lies is take all that bad stuff and say, here's what we can learn from it going forward to become a better investor so you don't have to just be paralyzed by it.
Well, the reason why I think that what you said in your book is important for people to read and to understand is because this isn't going to be the last time we'll see this.
Well, that's right, and that's why I say this is the next scandal.
This is a perennial thing. When I say perennial, I don't mean every year, but it comes in cycles, doesn't it?
It does come in cycles, and here we've just got the latest new fraud right now, Jim, which is this mutual fund scandal with this very aptly named Canary Investment Trust. I think it's a really great name for them.
Tell us about that a little bit.
Canary, first of all, you know, canary in a mine.
Of course.
You that there's more trouble coming, right?
Right.
And also Canary, the guys who sing in prison, you know, so it's kind of perfect that this thing is called Canary. What they were doing is a big hedge fund. This is not a mutual fund. This is a fund basically for very wealthy individuals. In this particular case, it happened to be run by a guy named Stern, who is the president, who is the son of the president of Hearts Mountain Pet Supply, which is mm-hmm. a huge company.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they call it Canary, by the way. So what they were doing is so-called late trading, meaning they would put in, they would fax in advance, like at 3:30 in the afternoon,
right?
Like 10 stock trades that they're thinking of doing to the mutual fund.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the market closed at 4 o'clock, and then news came out, like an earnings announcement, they would then say, and it affected the stock, they would say, well, execute this one, don't execute that one. So just to give you a simple example, say they bought Intel at 30, or put an order in to buy Intel at 30 at 3:30 in the afternoon. At 4 o'clock, Intel comes out with earnings that are better than expected. The stock jumps to 35 in after-hours trading. They said, all right, well, go ahead and execute our trade at 30. Okay? This is like betting on horses at the track after the race
right,
is over.
Right, exactly. Being able to see the OTB film before it goes up. Well, you know, the thing, and we reported a little bit on this last week, on this Canary thing last week, Jordan. But the thing is, the truth is, if you read the Wall Street Journal, almost every week, somebody there's an article where somebody is being kicked off the wall off the Dow Jones, or they're being reprimanded, or they're losing their license or something. So those kinds of things are always happening.
This is a bigger one than usual, but you're right. The ultimate thing is you have to be use your own common sense and protect yourself against all these. You get that much money in one place, in Wall Street, and greed, you know, and bad things are going to happen. But you can't just kind of go along. I talk about how to find a financial advisor that you can really trust, for example. I talk about some of the ways that you're being lied to all the time by these companies, and some of the things you can do to protect yourself. And one of them is just do simple common sense. Now, this sounds difficult, but it really isn't. I'm just giving you a simple example. With WorldCom, okay, they were wildly more profitable than AT&T or Sprint, and basically doing the same kind of thing.
Right.
So common sense would say, well, boy, are they running their business that much better? Are they really that fantastic?
Especially when you consider how fast they were growing, and all of us know that when you're growing that fast, that actually hurts profits.
That's right.
Because you're spending a lot of money building the infrastructure.
So what it turns out is they were understating their costs and expenses by $11 billion. That'll make you look more profitable.
Right.
But,
well,
you know, just a little common sense would have helped you out there.
They were managing earnings to the extreme and to the illegal, obviously. But don't all companies manage earnings a little bit, though, Jordan?
They do, but
and
not to the extent.
Isn't that sort of a management tactic? But what you're saying is in the past, we or at least we'd like to think that there are oversight organizations like the auditors, like
that's
the
right.
SEC.
We would have caught that. That's right.
We would have caught that, and that's where the problem was. We expect one out of 15,000 companies to lie to us and to defraud somebody or whatever. We expect that to be popping up from time to time, but we don't expect the overseers to do that.
That's right. And at this size, I mean, these are huge. You know, $100 billion bankruptcies in the case of WorldCom, Enron, huge. I mean, these were not small, insignificant companies. Enron was the sixth largest company in the Fortune 500.
Right.
So that's what shocked people so much. And I think they're saying, so let me just briefly go over the five ways that people get lied to. If you have the book there, page 28.
Yeah, let's do one or two of them, then we'll go to a break.
All right. Falsifying revenues. They just literally would make up revenues. For example, say they'd sell a piece of real estate, they would count the proceeds as sales, not as a capital gain. Or things like that. Recording revenues in the wrong period. They would take revenues that were going to be far into the future, and they'd bring it all into the current period to make things look better.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just some examples, and I've got a bunch of others where...
Hold on to that. Let's come back. And folks, these are some things. And the good thing that I think Jordan points out here is these are things that regular, ordinary folks can do. You don't have to be an investment analyst to be able to pick up some of these things. Just use your head in the due diligence when you're buying these stocks. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Jordan Goodman. The book is called Reading Between the Lies. We're back. It's 23 after. Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Jordan Goodman is our guest. He's the author of the new book, Reading Between the Lies. Jordan, where's the book available, please?
People can actually find out about it at my website, which is moneyanswers.com, with an S, moneyanswers.com, where there's also a phone number, which is 888-201-6300. But, you know, the easiest thing to get a hold right up and look at it at moneyanswers.com. And, by the way, at that website, I've got a free e-zine. Every week they get a little email from me, all kinds of different ideas to help them save and make money.
Check it out when you get a chance. Jordan, let's talk about some more of these lies. We got down through the first two, and there are five. The first one was... There was the company would literally falsify revenues. The second one is they'd record revenues in the wrong period. They'd pull back future revenues into current periods. And basically...
Enron did that a lot.
Right. They were managing...
They get a 10-year contract. And they put all the revenue for the next 10 years into the current quarter to make it look really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's
even though GAAP, Generally Accepted Accounting Methods or Practices, would require them to move those earnings forward when they would actually be delivered, right?
Well, that's right, but that's where Arthur Anderson was complicit in this, and they let him get away with it.
Yeah.
So that was a bad one. Okay.
Three.
Falsifying costs and expenses. That's kind of the WorldCom example, where they would have costs and expenses, and they would not reflect them, or basically they'd understate the costs and expenses as they would overstate the revenues.
Mm-hmm.
Treatment of liabilities, very similar. They would have, you know, liabilities make look a lot smaller than, in fact, they were in many
cases.
Well,
this is also what Enron did with the partnerships, didn't they?
That's right. All the bad stuff. Loans, losses would be put into these off-balance sheet partnerships, something like 3,000 off-balance sheet partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get rid of the bad news. It's basically, you know, shooting the messenger, I guess you might call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final one is mergers and acquisitions and other accounting tricks related to that. There are these so-called serial acquirers out there. Waste Management, for example, acquired over 400 companies in 1 year.
Wow.
Cendant Corporation, WorldCom, Enron also acquired huge numbers of companies. And whenever you acquire something, you can create goodwill. There's just all kinds of tricks that you can have.
Especially when they were acquiring companies that weren't all that homogeneous. They were just companies. They weren't. They didn't necessarily make sense for the underlying
right.
business of the company.
But it allowed them to do all kinds of... I mean, another good example there would be AOL Time Warner.
Mm-hmm.
A huge amount of goodwill. And that turned out to be a total disaster. I mean, they had to write off $54 billion
yeah.
in goodwill. So...
Well,
it wasn't just Enron and
WorldCom. The thing that you're pointing out here today and in your book, Jordan, is that, and what I appreciate about it is that it doesn't, you don't have to be a world-class financial expert
right.
to see these things. Just if you have any common sense in any business acumen, and heck, if you can do simple adding and subtracting, a lot of these things, if you just read between the lines, as you say, are in here, except the title is Read Between the Lies. If you just do that a little bit, do a little bit of your own due diligence. In fact, what you say, I think, Jordan, is that most of us could have avoided this
Absolutely.
Problem if we hadn't gotten caught up in the mania and if we'd said, you know what, this just doesn't smell right.
People were buying stocks because they went up. That was the only reason.
Yeah.
That is not a good reason. Now, particularly your audience of small business people have a lot of business sense. They can't rely on some big company to bail them out.
And right.
they can use the same common sense they use to run their own small businesses to do their own personal investing, yet people throw their senses out the window somehow
mm-hmm.
and just trust some investment analyst who says it's going up and they buy, you know.
What do we, what about, let's go forward, let's look into the future, Jordan.
Yeah.
How do we find companies that'll tell us the truth in the future?
Well, I think you can take a look at a long-term track record and see, I have various things to look for in here. For example, you don't want companies that are promoting themselves too much. I mean, that Enron was promoting itself as, you know, the new economy, that kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If they're too promotional, that's not a good thing. You want something where you've seen an
now
ethical...
You don't mean promoting their product. You mean if they're promoting
stock.
Their own self too much. Yeah.
Promoting their stock and
marketing
saying,
the product is okay.
You want them to be selling their product.
Of course.
I mean, Enron was promoting itself as a new business model,
mm-hmm.
you know, that was going to change the world, that had changed the world. That's a little excessive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
WorldCom, the same thing. You know, we're going to put AT&T out of business, and we're going to do all these kind of things that it was all just a bunch of lies, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And Quest did the same thing, and Global Crossing. You know, we're going to completely change the world. A lot of the dot-coms, we're talking about that. They don't,
right.
They're not around to brag anymore. So kind of getting a more conservative company that's going to meet its promises, where the management seems to be ethical and not trying to line its own pockets. Take a look at the options that they have. This is where a lot of abuse was going on, where the top managers were loading up on stock options, which was no risk to them if the stock went up because of what they said.
Right.
They'd sell. Jeffrey Skilling of Enron
right.
sold $870 million worth of stock in 1 day.
Hmm.
Right after he said the future is bright, everything's going
right.
great. And then like a month after that, he resigned
mm-hmm.
From Enron because he knew the place was falling apart.
And he's probably going to be the first guy to go to jail.
I don't think they're going to get Skilling. I think they're going to get Fastow.
Really?
Yes. I mean, they should, but they haven't even brought any action against Skilling or
yeah.
Lay yet.
Is Delay going to get away?
I think so.
Wow.
I mean, it's what I call the Sergeant Schultz defense. Remember in Hogan's
uh-huh.
Heroes?
Yeah, I know
nothing. I know
nothing,
I see nothing, I don't know anything,
right.
that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's amazing he can get away with it, but that's basically his defense.
But now, Sarbanes-Oxley is going to prevent that in the future, isn't it? Because it's going to make these guys sign their records.
That's right, and they've done that now for the last year or so. And
yeah.
I do, at the end of the book, actually have a list of all the new laws that have come into effect, Sarbanes-Oxley, the New York Stock Exchange rules, NASDAQ rules, and so on. And I think it's helping to some extent, but we're still having scandals. I mean, a good example
right.
recently, since Sarbanes-Oxley, is Freddie Mac.
Yeah.
A huge scandal. So there's lots still more to come. That's
Jordan,
why I said there'll
be more scandals. We'll have to talk about this some more the next time. Thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Tell us where the book's available again, please.
Again, moneyanswers.com or 888-201-6300.
Thanks, Jordan. See you
Thanks
next
again,
time.
Thanks again, Jim.
Okay, bye-bye. Quick break. Right back with Jay Fiore with eBay. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.